Welcome to New Beginnings. I'm Dana Greco, family couples therapist, and I'm here with
Don DeRoche, also a certified divorce mediator.
And we have a special guest here, Chris Maggio from
Families in Transition Mediation Services.
Okay. And we're also from the Family Mediation Family Council.
Yeah,
did you say
something
that?
Like that. Okay. I think I said that.
Well, today's show.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Is this a good, this is an exciting show, right?
Yes, I've been.
We did a lot of research this week.
Well, right? Maybe you had to do research. I already know a lot about this.
You do.
Well,
all right. Well, tell.
Well, we're talking about sex. And
we are? Wait, I got the wrong.
Oh, then tune
I got the wrong program.
That's why. No, you know why you're here today.
Oh, okay.
We're going to talk about sex, and we're going to talk about it, how it affects the relationship,
mm-hmm.
And what we can do to maintain that connection with our partner that we've been with for a while.
Oh.
Because a lot of times after that sort of period starts to wane,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we want to make sure that everybody's
able to. What is that period?
Well, I mean, I don't think it's after a few years start to...
Is that the seven-year itch?
That could happen,
yeah.
Yes. Right. Okay. So there's a couple of different ways that I want to go about this. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the biological
needs.
Needs. Okay. All biological.
All wants.
The scientific and desires.
Right.
And we're going to go right into the to the heavy-duty... you know,
yes. We're going to
get into
details.
I'm getting embarrassed.
Are we getting into details?
Because that's why we're going to talk about it. It's like we have these early perceptions of sex growing up.
And go ahead.
Go ahead. No, I've been doing all the talking.
I was just going to say that I feel like Americans really have a hang up when it comes to sex. And it's really difficult. You know, when you go outside of America, it's like it's more open. People talk about it. It's okay. It's not taboo.
A lot of nude beaches.
But in America, you can't talk about this
stuff.
Because
we started this country Puritans, and I think we're still, you know, hung up on that.
Takes a long time to change culture, doesn't it?
Yeah, and you know what? I have to say, what I know now, if I knew then what I know now, and my...
What do you mean, in the 1600s?
Well, no, I mean, I was going to go back to, like, my earlier state, you know, when we were young and single.
Right.
And I was single in the city, but I was in my 20s. Yeah, and it was different. Now, if I only knew then that what I know now about yes, and the power of sex and all that.
Right.
Now I just don't, I know, but I just don't have the energy.
The best way to glorify that is the statistic from Italy, that Italy has the least amount of divorce, but the highest rate of infidelity.
That's those Italians.
And Italy has shared parenting.
Yes, they do.
They have to, right. So, but, you know, we're going to talk about the infidelity because what we don't see a lot are couples that are able to communicate about their sexual desires and needs. And when
they are?
They're not able
to
talk about it. And if you can talk about it and meet that person's needs...
Mm-hmm.
Chances are they won't stray.
It'll be more, yes.
They
stray,
but nobody's talking about the needs. And you have to be able to talk to your partner about what you want.
Because they're afraid to talk about it.
Well, this is hopefully today's show is going to address that and how we should feel comfortable talking to our partner about our needs and to be able to meet their needs as well.
I'm wondering if we could fit in here also how, because, you know, you read the parenting books and things like that, and they talk about how you shouldn't have a girlfriend over. You know, when you split up, you shouldn't have a girlfriend or you shouldn't have a boyfriend over because it's not good moral ethics for them. But I do wonder about that because we continue that taboo of not talking about it, not doing. I mean,
there's something dirty about it.
Do we want people to get married first and then figure out how sexual the other party is?
I don't think so.
I've
never thought that was a great idea. You have
but,
to know
but
what,
this
if you're
is
sexually
what the Catholic
compatible.
Religion, but this is what the some religions teach.
Yes, because that's because they were because to them the sex is only about familial. It's about procreation. It's about building that, you know, family so
just
that there'll be
babies.
More Christians.
Right.
That's the whole point
Increasing
of it.
Increasing the that
the population. That we need more Christians.
Right.
Which brings me to say, like, there's marital sex, which is, again, the obligatory, responsible, you know, meeting each other, like,
responsible
three, four times.
Sex?
Well, not, no, but I'm talking about being responsible to the marriage, that you are in it and you will meet that sexual
urge. Just doing it for a need?
Well, you do it because marital is about making that connection, right? Marital is about making that commitment, you know, to have that sexual relationship.
But you say responsibility.
I'm saying you have a responsibility in the marriage. And I will tell you, I have heard that some don't say, like, oh, I don't want to have sex with them, you know, he kind of bores me. And
that is your
responsibility as a mate. Then you shouldn't have gotten married.
I hear people say that all the time. It's like, I'm not giving him sex. Right. No, that's not happening.
But you married him, and now you have to.
Well, that, you know,
and don't expect that if he strays.
Right.
Then
maybe they're okay with them straying.
Well, sometimes they go, please, find somebody else.
Yeah,
leave me alone.
Yeah, crossing one of the most difficult areas in life relationship, though, is to go between what anger and what happiness there is in a relationship to keep it together. Sometimes people bail out. They don't. No, I'm not.
Right.
I'm not.
Well, there's contempt built up.
They use it as a tool.
Mm-hmm. And we don't want that as a power tool because it's really about giving.
Well, we talked in the past about the man needing it. Mm-hmm. And the woman not necessarily biologically needing it.
As often. So we ask that the man put her in the mood because it's his responsibility too to woo her, get her in the mood.
So is that the marital sex still?
So that
are we
could
still
be,
talking about that?
Yes, that's part of the marital.
Advice to men is keep the woman engaged and to provide an environment that's more palatable for sex or for intercourse or whatever you want to do because... Mm-hmm. One of the things we do is we bail out. We have a shorter relationship to it.
Men,
I'm sorry, I'm a man, you know.
Oh, yep.
Well, I'm just talking about the historical perspective
here. For guys, it's like hit it and quit it.
Yes.
You know, just getting your needs met. When a woman really wants to connect and have it's more lovemaking for them.
Yes. Well, I think it's also communication because the men aren't communicating as much and maybe they're not asking or saying things as much. And maybe
during?
They don't know.
Well, the key is what Dana
not
said,
during,
though.
But before.
It's like lovemaking. The lovemaking aspect that Dana just spoke about is what's missing in male perspective. If I had to give advice, I would say that's
getting
one of the
candles ready and
preparing an environment that creates opportunity for a woman to feel more.
Desire, not just an object.
Is it desire?
Yeah, we want to be desired.
We want to be desired.
Yeah, we want to be like, you know, like you have this longing for us, this attraction towards us.
And a wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, just
doesn't
isn't
cut it for
it's not
us.
Cutting it.
In the same way that all the sexual excitation things in a woman are primarily on the inside of their body, all of our exterior needs and drive and our activity is all visual and on the outside of our body.
Right.
So we think in that vein.
Right, right.
All right, they think in that
makes
vein.
Sense.
So if we
definitely
can cross, if we can cross that
I
would
can
be.
I can see that.
Yep.
Okay.
So do you want to get into another?
Well,
type
the familial
of?
Love. Okay. All right, are the what we talked about making love to or
it's
having
just to
sex
have
to
more,
have more children.
More children.
Well, sometimes
increase
it's a turn on to see how. Making a baby together,
right.
And there's a bunch of
and that song.
Population.
I wonder if we have that song. You have my baby. You know, it's like, remember
and
that song?
Yeah, yeah. And that
so that's
to
what
them,
it's about. It's like it feels good because you're doing something,
and
for
you're
me.
Making them a baby.
Right. It's like it's now it's our family.
That's what love making is to them.
Right.
It's about making babies.
Yeah,
which basically, what later on we'll realize that kills the erotic sex, the kids. So
it does
we'll get to that.
Yes.
What you think you're doing now is only going to ruin you later. And then erotic love, which we is going to talk more
about. Talk about that.
That's about the desire and the anticipation and the excitement. See, after you've
So let me understand this. So let's say you get the 7-year itch and it's not happening anymore and you're not
you're
feeling
living
happy.
Together. You
so
see every,
at that
each
point,
other every day.
Are you then going into other types of sex like fetish and swinging and rough and violent? Like
If that's what turns you on.
Oh.
You don't start with the...
Chris, take over.
You don't start with the fetish before you start with the communication. You said it before. You're just reminding
yourself. You don't
want to
scare them off.
You have to communicate these possibilities first to see whether they fit in.
But now
well, that's
the thing
why
is,
you have to know what your compatibility with your partner.
But the thing is, before you're married, how could you even know these things 7 years ahead? How could you know... that you're going to get bored. And
just assume that you will.
But then you don't really know what you're going to be okay with.
No, but that's where the education is. Assuming you will is highly probable. So why would you avoid that knowledge?
Right.
Well, you need to talk about it in the dating, you know,
stages. Talk about it before you're married.
Well, that's why you want to know what your sexual drive is. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about what happens later on in the marriages where depression sets in, you know, hormones.
Yeah, a job loss that affects
The sex. But you, no matter what, I think that even if you're having the bad day and the bad stages, together as a partnership, the sex has to remain. Even if you're not in the mood,
Get in the mood. Somehow
get in the mood. Yep.
And if that means communicating to the man and saying, get me in the mood.
Mm-hmm. Or, honey, I know you're looking down. You're looking, and, you know, he can say, look, I know you put on some weight, but I would do you anyway. Let's go. And make her feel, because it's it's image, too.
Right.
Women stop having sex
because
they feel like
their
bodies have gotten older.
Yeah.
And
well, is that why they do it between the sheets sometimes? Like, they cut a hole? Like, I heard that.
That's the Orthodox.
That's not even here. Right?
And we're going to talk about
here.
The Madonna whore complex.
Okay.
All right. So where do you want to begin? Do you want to talk about the biological, or do you want to talk about the communication? Because I think that for couples, and let me ask you two gentlemen, do you feel like it's okay to talk about your sex drive to women, or do you think that they get scared off?
I think as I got older, it felt more comfortable. I think in the beginning, it probably, you know, I mean, it's just like a teenage thing. I mean, that's when you're starting to feel it, right? And it's like, you know, it's just like,
it's the same for me. My sex education didn't come from my parents. You have to learn it on. So you're
on
a little shy about it early on. You learn it from the street, your peer relationships that you have. But as you get older, I have no problem discussing it now.
Right. I think it's easier as you get older.
Yes, much more comfortable.
Things. Much more comfortable.
And I think the early times when we first started out being more sexually active can sort of set the tone to what we see as relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So
a lot of people think that that's going to carry on. One of the problems we have in relationships years over is that the passion and the level of passion, the drive that happens early on is going to stay there, and it rarely does.
Yeah, because, I mean, men lose testosterone as they age. Right. And women actually lose their hormones as well.
Although, but isn't it the men in their 20s are at their sexual peak and women in their 40s are at their sexual peak?
It's absolutely somewhere in the neighborhood of 17 or 18 years old.
So the cougar thing actually works.
Yeah, because we are, well.
But you don't gain, that's a mental state primarily, the hormonal a little bit, but we have, men have seven times the testosterone women have. So our drive to proceed, and that's a biological evolutionary thing. It's cultural also.
And that's why
our drive is higher.
20 is a peak. And talking about driving, actually I was driving to a house the other day.
Nice segue.
And I want to just talk about Laura Memesha. She's great. She just, you know, she shows you the different places. She does the right thing. She's, you know, she's really, really good. And
she listens to what you're looking for and doesn't drag you around, wear you out like some realtors.
Yes.
Where they finally say, okay, I give up.
She doesn't just bring me to places. You know, it's like, you know, she pinpoints what you're looking for. And she's like, you know, I'm not just sending. She's like, listen, if you just look at the house and you're not happy, we're just walking out.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, you know. We don't have to go see it, you know, just because I told the people that we're coming, and I'm not doing it just to show them that I'm showing their house. I'm not doing that. So she's really good.
I highly
recommend her, and she's from Realty Advisors. Her phone number is 516-984-0343. So if you're searching for a house, looking to sell a house, she does it all. Just give her a call, and
Does she rent also?
She rents, rents, and she does all that stuff, everything. It's
everything,
great. Yeah,
okay.
She does.
Good to know. All right, we'll be right back.
Okay.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Are you confused about which diet is right for you? Are you tired of being tired? How about improving your energy, strength, and appearance? Hi, I'm Rika Keck, a holistic nutrition and wellness consultant. If you have answered yes to any of my questions, contact me now at nyintegratedhealth.com or at 646-285-8588. Initiate change and transform your life.
Are you concerned about the future of your business or career? Would you like it all to just be better? Well, the way to do that is through better communication. And the best way to do that is training from the team at Improving Communications. This is Larry Sharp, host of the Ivory Tower Radio program and director at Improving Communications. Does your office need better leadership, customer service, sales, or maybe better writing or speaking skills? Could they be better at dealing with confrontation, conflicts, and touchy subjects? All are covered here at Improving Communications. If you're in the New York City area, stop by one of our public classes or get your human resources in touch with us. The website is improvingcommunications.com. That's improvingcommunications.com. Improve your professional environment. Be more effective. Be happier and make more money. Improving Communications. That's the answer.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Reach out and touch me.
Really?
Yes.
Well, don't mind if I do.
Okay.
All right, then. Chris, take over. Again. All right. So, what makes it last?
So, tips and tricks. Mm-hmm. What can we do to make things better?
Uh-huh. And we're not just talking it as an erection, are we?
Well, we could be. That's how it starts,
well,
I guess.
Well, let's talk about that.
Okay.
All right?
And, I understand there's no sex if there's no erection. Something like that, right?
Is that true?
No, I don't think the guy is in the mood if he can't get it on.
Well, I mean, oral sex.
Well,
let me
ask you this. Then you guys, if you're not erected or whatever.
Uh-huh. Erected, wow.
do you feel like you're not in the mood? Or can you still be in the mood and not be?
Well, personally, I still could be.
You really?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I could get in the mood pretty quick.
Okay,
but I think the question.
Question
I think the question.
Sure
no,
the question
I think
is,
the question is if you're not erected,
what comes first, the erection,
the chicken or the
mood?
Egg?
In a female, it's the mood. In a male, it's the erection.
Right. Yeah. But I'm just thinking myself personally. If I'm not erected, I still think I can be into it.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Because it's about pleasing the woman?
Yes. I think a man has to please the woman. He feels like he has to
that
please.
Secret message, advanced education for men to learn that I very often have pleased women and not even had the opportunity to get pleased myself is something that's a unique trick that once a woman gets that feeling, that man is ready to sacrifice.
Right.
And willing to sacrifice, that the pleasing element increases for both.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Do you feel that men want to please women? Like they feel
not
like
as
if
often
that's
as
their
they
manhood?
Should.
No. But is that in their man? Is that their primary need to please the woman?
Protection and pleasing women are very important to men, yeah.
But we don't ever think that because we always think, oh, he just wants to get his rocks
right.
off. But, you know, it's a rare concept to most women think, what?
So
he's
do women get their rocks off?
Me?
It's not the same term.
No, it's
what
not
do
the
you,
same
what
thing.
Do you call it? What's slang for getting a woman off?
So
getting their rocks off for a man. What's it for a woman?
Geez, I don't even know.
Women
I guess
came up with that term because they don't really have that.
Right.
We don't have
they
rocks.
Don't. You don't have rocks.
I
know.
Rocks. Yeah. No, it's just do me. You know. Did he do you good? Yeah. Did he do me?
How good was it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, all right, we'll talk about that later.
All right.
But one of the things, though, we were talking about is when they can't be, the erection isn't there.
Yep.
Is that because there's a hang up or performance anxiety?
There could be multiple things, right?
Yes, yes, and yes, and yes, and yes, and yes, and yeah, all that's
there's
possible.
A lot of anxiety when it's not really happening.
Well, yeah, there could be anxiety that's creating it.
Mm-hmm.
And then there could also be anxiety that comes from not having it.
Right. And
This is outside of health, because there are some health reasons why.
Right.
Outside of health. We're talking about job loss.
Are normally healthy, well, and they're psychologically impaired by something.
Right.
Okay. So which I guess what brings me to the Madonna whore complex.
Okay.
Because a lot of times a man can't cross over. It's very black and white. He either sees the woman as pure or he sees her as
temptress. Does that happen after time, or does it happen right initially?
No, they either have that or they don't have it.
Have it or don't.
They're coming into the relationship
with
it.
So that's not the right person.
Well, you need to know. And
will they have that complex with every woman?
Until they get psychological help.
Until they get past that.
They can have the... See, they'll go with a Madonna whore complex will mostly go with someone who's more temptress. Somebody who's more of a, you know, the darker whore-like woman.
As they say in Queens, hooah.
I never got that. That's like the only place I've ever heard hooah. What, do you use hooah?
As a teenager,
you were one of those that said hooah?
I was from
Queens.
When I was in Queens. I'm from Queens, too. Yeah.
You know, when I met you guys in Queens and you say hooah, I was like, see you later. There's something weird about the way that's said. Whore. You can't whore. Say hooah. You can't say whore. She's
about,
a whore.
How about ho?
How about a New Yorker?
Oh, that's up in Harlem.
A New Yorker. A-W-K-E-R.
Right.
New Yorker. Okay.
Right.
Well.
O-K-A, I should say. Yeah.
So
all right, so give me some tips and tricks. You know,
right now?
Blindfolding.
Yes.
Right?
Blindfolding. Well, for the erotic lovemaking, that would be heightening the anticipation, because erotic love is about meeting your own needs.
Mm-hmm.
It's about having that sexual experience fully about yourself, as both partners are actually in it for themselves during this time. Not to say it's a selfish act.
Right.
It's about you not worrying about what the other person is feeling or wanting. You're having this erotic experience on your own, and you're each giving that to each other.
So when you have that 7-year itch, you think maybe blindfolding would help kind of bring you past that?
Well, if you're having a 7-year itch, you might want to, you've got to address it first and say, honey, things aren't happening like they used to. What do you think we should do?
We need to make some changes.
Right. And sometimes.
And that could be blindfolding, maybe.
Well, what do you think? You know,
what do you think? Talk
feathers,
about it.
You want a bubble bath.
If we can just stay in that one zone for a second, it's like with that blindfolding, or that also the apprehension, but I can't think of the word that they use for tying people up. There's another word for it. Binding or something like that. Bondage.
Bondage.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, bondage has an element of excitement to some women. It scares the hell out of others. You really have to know who you're with and really feel comfortable with that.
So do you think these things should be talked about before marriage?
If they know. Sometimes people don't know as you go.
That's what I'm saying. So
see, there's an evolution to sexual excitation as you go along in years, too. Just as this 7-year itch will sometimes give you an example of what will fall away.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually have it go the other way if you know what you're doing. Not too easy.
Not too easy?
Not too easy,
don't
no.
Be too easy?
You have to spend a lot of time. You have to spend a lot of time in a relationship to have it go for a long period of time, never to be disenchanted with your partner.
So you kind of hold back a little bit?
Well, no, but see, that's what the sexual intelligence is about.
Instead of diving in?
But remember, sexual intelligence is about knowing about sex, knowing about yourself, knowing what it is technically and emotionally, and being aware of
what that sex... So there's different levels.
Yes.
Okay.
And it's about connecting with the other person, knowing, like, just an emotional intelligence. We evolve.
A major thing that attached to all of this is foreplay for a man, primarily. We were talking about advice a moment ago.
Right.
One of the things you can do is advance to men what that means, because it's slightly different for women.
Men don't want it. Do you have an interest in foreplay? I'm not asking you directly. I'm just asking you generally.
In a general way, when we fall short as a man, primarily.
You think that it's not going to last long, so you want to get to it?
That might be. No, it's not always that. It's not always that. I think some of it is just...
You don't know what you're doing?
No, I think you want to get right to it. I think you want to get right to it.
See if it's going to work?
No, it's not about just getting...
You want to get to the intercourse?
You just want to get to that heightened pleasure. You want to get to it.
But you can't get to it unless you're foreplaying, because that's heightening it more.
That's the thing.
Dana, that's our
that's
problem.
That's the thing that you learn over time.
Right.
But I think you still feel like... I got to get there.
Because is it a conquest? It's about the end result?
No, it's not a conquest.
That's not tied
it's a
there.
Feeling.
Is it the happy ending? You just want to...
That's what it. You're you talking about, the but, happy ending.
But it, you want to have the happy beginning, too, don't you?
Well, you want to have the happy journey.
Yes,
I guess is
you
want to
be happy
about.
All throughout.
Yes.
Like
all,
so,
all of what you're trying to address here has a lot to do with just simply understanding the opposite sex, the gender roles.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
If we knew more about what we wanted as a gender, if right. we knew what the other gender wanted, that is,
uh-huh.
we could import more of our own technique and our own ability to make it work.
So yeah. should the partner ask and tell the other one that they want?
When you're capable of it, sure.
And if you don't feel comfortable right. saying it, you show them.
Show it. Take mm-hmm. their hand and
mm-hmm.
show them.
Mm-hmm. Or mm-hmm. whatever other body part.
Oh, okay.
All right. So foreplay now? Is more about a woman... she's thinking more.
It's more for a woman.
And I think a woman gets disappointed mm-hmm. when he doesn't want to participate in
well,
that.
Well, she should know right now they don't want it.
Wait,
all right? But it's a learned thing over time.
If you look at the rate of orgasm with intercourse, you can get an idea of what that shortage of the foreplay is because mm-hmm. only 30-35% of women have orgasm through intercourse. If you wanted to increase that...
Wait, 35% of women or 35% of the time for a woman?
30%
of the...
35% have orgasms through intercourse.
Women. Yeah, because
that's
okay.
it. Now, 35...
Wow.
Almost
wow.
40% do not.
I didn't know that.
Almost
right.
40% do not have...
And what are the other
orgasm
percentage?
Through intercourse. Occasional.
So that, oh.
Occasional.
Wow.
Uh-huh. So that's if you think about the foreplay aspect to that, that'll tie
that's
in
necessary.
Much better. That'll
yeah.
give some advice to those listeners.
Well, that's
who
for the men. For the
yeah,
men.
Because you know, if you create right. an environment that's longer lasting,
uh-huh.
a woman needs a longer period of time to plateau.
Right.
Yep.
So for the women,
right.
the women should understand that the you know they shouldn't feel like the man wants to have foreplay, but it should be necessary.
Well, yeah, because if you're going to please the woman, if you're about that, you
right.
have to know it takes her longer.
No, right. but sometimes you hear women say, he should know that. He should know that. It's always like, you know, no, if you want it, express it and communicate
first
it
of all,
and tell.
Men are not as capable of lasting as long as a woman is capable. Women can have sex a lot longer than men
right.
can.
And multiple times.
And multiple
right.
orgasms, whereas right. men very rarely can have any more than one.
Right. Well, I think that's a special...
That's a special day.
Yeah, yeah. That's when you're younger.
But, yeah. Well, yes. I think there's other
can
men
go
that
again.
Can have multiple...
That's what we hear.
I've heard...
Oh, he can go again.
I've heard that some men can go multiple times.
Yeah, what you have to do is hold back and not have a complete first.
Yeah, it's a Kegel.
Yeah,
Kegel.
It's a Kegel effect,
Kegel.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So... anyway, segueing into...
Some more tips and tricks. Do you yeah, want to talk about yeah. what would keep it going?
In far as the relationship.
Yeah, I mean, what about pornography? We could talk about pornography a little bit. Does that help or hurt?
You know, again, it has to do with the couple. I mean, some
right.
will be aroused and some, I think, feel that they're using it as a tool because they can't be aroused.
It's a right. warning shot. It's something, if you know about somebody having pornography before you meet them, it's a warning sign.
Uh-huh.
It's
mm-hmm.
a red flag because it can be dangerous and because it can supplement mm-hmm. the actual
love
partner.
Making.
Well,
the
talk about supplementing. I actually want to talk about Summer Mangles because she does get supplemental documentation from you and mm-hmm. she needs those, you know, the
and
tax
I've been working
returns
with Summer.
And things like that,
she's
right?
She's been wonderful.
Yes, and she's from Wells Fargo. And her phone number is 631-752-4843.
And what can we
She's
call Summer for?
For mortgages
mm-hmm.
and refinancing.
Yes.
And she handles FHA.
And as rates are
Fannie
going
Mac.
Down or staying down, yeah. it's a good time to reach out and start making a plan with her.
Exactly.
Right?
Yep. And okay. again, you can reach Summer at 631-752-4843. And when we come back, we're going to talk about pornography some more.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
Hi, I'm Austin Marola.
And I'm Sloane Wainwright.
We're the hosts of the new Thursday morning show, The Music
Power Hour.
At 11 a.m.
We're going to have fun.
And shine the light on all aspects of music.
And its limitless healing possibilities.
We're going to invite artists to share their songs and play live.
We'll be listening and talking about great music from yesterday to today.
So you're invited to share in our musical conversation.
Your ears will be delighted with the sound of music.
And our voices. Join Austin.
And Sloane.
Live Thursdays at 11 a.m. on TalkingAlternative.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Welcome back to New Beginnings. We're talking about sex and relationships. Yeah. And, you know, once I was told I was a goddess of my own religion. And I always felt that sex in a relationship was very important and very much part of the relationship. And when it's not part of the relationship, we got problems.
Right.
And
so,
I think a lot of
So you say important, you really mean required.
It's required, and it's certainly a very, like I'm saying, it's a responsibility in the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
If
for
you
both.
Don't feel sexually desired or you don't feel attracted to your partner, mm-hmm. there's something seriously going wrong, and you need to talk to either a therapist, sex therapist, or talk to each other. But it's a very, I think, a very vital component to the relationship.
Right.
Do you both agree?
Yes.
Well, I know we talked about what makes it last. Now I want to talk about what kills it. Mm. So we talked about pornography, and I know that in some ways that it could make things
it's
better.
It's a double-edged sword.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it could actually hurt the sex as well. Because I don't know if anybody wants to talk about that.
If you rely on pornography, then you're probably already having some warped perception of sex
when you say,
and the object and
when
the
you
opposite
say rely,
sex.
Do you mean rely
to get aroused
to do masturbation, or do you mean rely for
frequency.
To get aroused for your partner?
If you yes, I think if you need that as an aid
for either one,
right. Right, because I think, I don't know, masturbation should be more about self-pleasuring.
Mm-hmm.
And
so maybe it's okay then.
The reason why pornography is more visible for men is because we're visual beings, mm-hmm. and we are biologically, that's why women.
Visual, yeah.
If you notice in women's workplaces, you'll very rarely ever see pictures of naked men.
Right.
But if you go to men's workplaces, you'll almost always see pictures mm-hmm. of either semi-clothed mm-hmm. or naked women. Mm-hmm. And that's because we're visual.
Mm-hmm. And the woman's body is probably a lot more appealing, you know, visually, aesthetically.
Right, women like women's bodies.
Without a doubt, I like it better.
Yeah,
I can't see why you're interested in a man, to be honest with you.
That hairy sort of, I know, but
right.
not.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we don't see it aesthetically, no,
right.
not as much.
Right.
Depends, you know, Abercrombie ad, you know, maybe. The thing I was going to say was about the women and the men. Was that, and I forgot what I was going to say.
But the pornography does kill it because if you're looking at pornography too much, and I guess if you're masturbating too much, that's going to kill.
Yes. And in pornography, I mean, it's a lot of like this, just like the, about the, can I just say, It's about the the intercourse.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and it's like boom, 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 boom.
Oh,
boom,
yeah, the music.
Boom,
and
right? I mean, is that what turns you guys on? Is like the pounding of this?
I think it's more the visual.
Yeah, it's visual.
It's visual, not that. I don't think it's the act.
Is
I
it
think
the
it's
penetration?
Visual.
No. We should all know it's demeaning, though. We should know. If you want to know the bad side of it, it's demeaning to women. Most everything that's out there that in pornography is not good. It's
right.
not healthy.
Right.
It's demeaning to women.
Do you think that men who go to strip clubs also are sort of having a sexual hang-up or looking to be aroused in a way that might not be healthy? Like husbands
who leave.
No, they're
not going to say that part, but yeah, they're going to look to be aroused and then stop there.
But do you think it's okay for a husband to go out to a strip club and then come home and have sex with his wife?
If that's what it takes, and the wife is all right by it, you know, sex is very
unique and individual.
She doesn't
know.
Well, maybe she does
know.
Maybe she does know, and maybe it's okay with her.
Then maybe there's something wrong. Should they be talking about why he has to have it?
Yeah, perfect world, yeah.
Right, so this is the kind of thing you need to talk with your partner
about.
So
is it, we talked about demeaning to women. Is it demeaning to men?
For what?
For women to watch men in the act.
You mean to also enjoy pornography?
I mean, you're saying it's demeaning to women.
The amount of information the media portrays women in pornographic media
in a demeaning
mediums
way.
As being subservient to men,
right.
punishable by men.
I don't think there's a big market for women who buy pornography.
There isn't.
I think that's why. I mean, you have a lot of gay, lesbian, and heterosexual, but for the heterosexual, it's more, I think, the market is for the men.
Okay.
Right, lesbian.
It primarily is because
because
we are
visual.
Right.
Yeah, we're not going to get off on watching pornography because we can't smell him, feel him, talk to him.
So now, what about a couple? What about a couple watching pornography together to get aroused together?
If it works.
But I think she's doing it more for him and his pleasure.
It depends. Okay. There's some women who have claimed that they enjoy it too. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem. Doesn't seem like everything that I know would say that, but
I think it's something. Again, it's part of the erotic love where you're just going to go ahead and try something new. And
if a woman knows that there's going to be an erection for her to use
later on,
past the pornography,
yeah, so
I mean, I think they get overlooked the beginning steps to that.
Maybe, yeah, just to get to that point, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think we have to do what we need to do in order to get to where we want to maintain that pleasure with our partner. If it takes that so that they don't stray, we do what we have to do. Is that okay?
That brings me to another question is why would a woman not be in the mood? And if she's not in the mood, does no mean yes? In some cases. I know that's
she's
two
not
different
in the mood,
things.
He's got to say, look, get in the mood. But a lot of times women are tired.
Right.
I think a lot, if we're talking about married couples, if he wants her at 10 o'clock at night because he's had a long day, what has she been? She's been working too. She's exhausted.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, you know, she just can't get in the mood because she's needs her sleep. She's
so at that
trying
point,
to keep up.
At that point, can you change that?
Well, situation? What I suggest to couples is if that's not a good time, you've got to find an earlier time or want
to. Well, maybe you just put the kids to bed. Like you said before, they're a marriage killer.
Yep.
Because
so get rid of the kids.
Get rid of the kids. Okay.
And then we have do the dishes. I have
together?
Husbands who go home, they make dinner, they cook, they clean, put everything so she's not exhausted. He'll go, go ahead, honey, go lay on the couch, relax.
Okay. Good.
I cook for my wife every weekend, at least twice, once during the weekend, every Sunday. I always made the pasta meals because she couldn't make that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that was because you were a good cook, but did it help in the bedroom later?
I can tell you one thing. I don't know. Personal?
Yeah.
Well,
we were married for
14 years. I don't think 10 days went by without us having sex. So.
Okay. Then.
Ever.
And that's because you helped her around the house?
I don't know. I mean, she seemed to be thankful.
What do you mean you don't know? You didn't ask? Like, you don't know what worked? See, I think it's important that couples know what's working and what's not.
Yeah, but if I step out into that area.
Yeah, but sometimes you just don't say, you just don't communicate
those
things.
But that's what the whole point of the show is about.
It goes back to it all being taboo.
Okay, she made the point. She's probably right.
You know, you need to know what turns your man on and what turns a woman on. And I think that you should say, honey, what do you want me to wear? Or what would be a turn-on for you?
You know, in the tip section of this conversation is exactly what she was... Tip section here coming up.
Okay. Give her the whole
She's
thing.
Really
the
right
tips,
because if we can create...
The tip.
You have to create the environment for a man, too.
Right.
And for a woman dressing up sexy if that's what it's going to cause. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If that's what he likes, and please do it.
So mm-hmm. I know we talked about scary movies before where they enhance
the arousal.
Sexual arousal. And mm-hmm. what about chick flicks? I mean, do they?
Yeah, I say the testosterone level goes down in a man when he sees tears.
Mm,
right?
When he sees tears.
Yeah, so don't take him to a chick flick.
What about when
he's
feeling that emotion?
Nope.
No?
If the emotion drives the blood pressure up is the only time that'll
that's
work
together.
That's
the only thing.
Yeah. Right, so you're not going to get anywhere with bringing them to a chick flick.
So that's going
to
hurt.
Not.
Take
Probably
them to
not.
A scary movie. And it's interesting because a lot of teenagers go and see scary movies.
Yeah, that's not right.
And I think, I wonder if they are aware that they're a little bit more aroused when they get out.
Maybe.
But anyway, getting back to the idea of talking about what's right for the, or what turns you on.
Mm-hmm.
Would you both say that you could feel comfortable telling your partner, you know, I mean, I'd really like you to wear those lay me back shoes if you wouldn't mind. And
I got
maybe
one for you.
Wear.
How about it's time for a quickie? Now and then it's okay.
Mm. Yeah.
Men would prefer if every now and then there was a 15-minute period of time and he had to get to that orgasm. Men would prefer if that was if a woman would also engineer the event of sex in even
so
in longer
should,
terms.
She should initiate.
Some women should be. That's one of men's biggest complaints in all the studies I've ever seen. Is that women tend not to be aggressive enough. They tend not to make the first move towards the bedroom.
Yeah,
well, usually
I definitely
have time because
I,
usually you guys are making the move.
No, but I have I definitely have felt that in the past.
Yeah,
definitely have felt that. it's been, just situation where you want the other person to say more. You want them to initiate.
Seduce
you. You don't want to be the, yes.
Yes.
Seduce
every now and then, seduce,
oh,
seduce
really.
That guy.
Wow,
right?
I just got a reaction.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, put that, we have a pen, I got to write that down. Uh-huh. So.
Is Chris taking over again?
Take over.
All right.
All right, so go ahead.
Yep.
What? we're all hot and bothered
now.
Wait,
let's talk about the priest.
We all just have fantasies in our head.
We need to turn the air on.
What about the pre-soap period? Can you imagine what that was like?
Pre-soap?
Yeah, the pre-soap period. I always refer to that because what did we do? Because the arousal and the sense of smell was so important to the sexual experience. Mm. What did we do before baths and showers and soap?
Well, I think the stink.
We smelled.
The stink.
No, but there was an element. This is, I hate to talk about this, but it's true. Historically, that was an element of what would drive a man to get to a woman.
Was the smell.
She hadn't bathed in weeks.
I can't.
Very
I can't
animalistic.
Describe this. This is just
that's
what they
crazy.
Say.
Right.
The studies
Who's
they? Have shown that.
Wow. Okay. So, but I can see that's very. Back
right.
In,
I did want to talk about monogamy a little bit because, some people feel that there's some benefits to monogamy.
Yes.
Right? And
some, I hope many.
You hope many, right? Mm-hmm. So let's talk about some of those things. So I'm just going to throw out there that you can increase your sexual intelligence.
Yes.
Is one, right? Because it's easier when you're with the same person and you can keep building on that intelligence.
Familiarity.
Right. And you're getting to know what that person needs. You're much more comfortable with that person. And most of the time, you can try new things because if sex is about
Well, can
trust.
I just talk about trying new things a second? Is with Robert Hiltzig because he's
Does
a divorce attorney.
Yes.
Not that we recommend to go to an attorney because we're mediators, but if you have to go the adversarial route because either your partner started it or you feel that's the only way that this is going to work for you, Robert is the best guy to go to. His phone number is 516-308-4674. The thing that's interesting about him is he understands parental alienation, which is extremely rare with lawyers. He gives his cell phone number for after hours and weekend calls. And he also makes sure that you understand his case. All right? It's not just bringing you through the motions and not telling you, keeping you in the dark. He tells you about the case. He makes sure you know about it. He makes sure you know what's happening, what's going to happen in the future, and things like that. He's not afraid to go to trial, but he always tries to negotiate and settle beforehand. So when you go and you call Robert, make sure you tell him Dana and Don sent you so that this way he'll give you some special treatment.
That's right.
And talking about special treatment, we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
Have you ever considered consulting a roadmap when you feel you need help getting to your destination? When the normal path seems blocked, a little help can come in handy when choosing an alternate route. Your natal chart is a map of your potentials. It addresses relationships, finance, business, health, and above all, creativity. Current planetary cycles can either support or challenge your objectives. I'm Montgomery Taylor. If you would like to explore the help of a private astrological reading, please contact me at Monty@MontyTaylor.com. That's Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at MontyTaylor.com.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Okay, welcome back to New Beginnings, and Dan is just starting to get comfortable now. She's starting to take some things off here. So
it's getting hot here.
Oh, yes, I know. So I know we were talking about monogamy and the benefits of it, and I know you said you would like everybody to feel that way, that monogamy is the right way, but I know we can get into, you know, you wanted to talk maybe more about casual sex and how addictive that is.
Yeah, well, I mean, about the monogamy and people who are getting married and want to have this relationship last, you have to go into it with the idea that, yes, you're going to be monogamous. And the benefits, but they think it's going to be just boring. Mm. No, it's actually, you can
it's
be more adventurous
better, right.
Because you know each other. Mm-hmm. And marriage and sex and all that in the relationship has a lot to do with trust. Hmm. Right, and vulnerability.
And there's a lot more trust when you know who you're with, and
therefore you
and
can be more adventurous.
Right.
Okay. All right.
I hate to be devil's advocate, but because we live in such a fast-paced society, it's not likely that we're going to be able to keep long-term marriages together. Is already here.
Well,
it,
I mean,
looks,
most marriages ended, you know, because people died younger. So I don't think it lasted as long because of that. However,
The people from years ago stayed married longer than they do today.
Well, that was
also
from,
knew because their roles. They understood more of their traditional roles. We're getting into a modern marriage now, where there's a lot of mixed.
Yeah, but I would think going back to the 1800s, people did not live as long. And I think, you know, just saying what you're suggesting is that people just didn't live that long.
Yeah,
and
but people
that's
in the 30s and 40s and 50s, way after and not too much earlier than us, they stayed married.
But
30,
that's what
40,
you know.
50, 60 years.
I think the 30s, people kind of left because of the Depression.
Yes,
right?
But
people
do you think those marriages that lasted, were they happy marriages?
No.
They were accepted marriages.
That's right. They lived
and,
in a very
state
silent
marriage.
Just what you
said. For the sake of the marriage.
Just,
silent sufferers.
But just what you said before about roles. You mentioned roles before. Everybody knew their role.
now
back
we don't.
In the 60s, the 70s, 80s, the roles started changing and blending. And
that's what I was referring to.
Yeah.
Right. So people, and then also people, we've become more about ourselves and we're trying to seek our own happiness. And a lot
work,
of times we hear couples say, I just want to be happy. I just want to live the rest of my life free of this man.
Right.
He's driving me crazy.
Or it's this not, woman.
And we've also realized that there's a lot of medical issues that come up when you're in a stressful, unhappy marriage. So people realize that their health is at risk and they say, okay, we either fix this marriage
or
we get
kids.
Out.
Or the kids.
And now the children.
Right.
So we're much more aware of the detriment.
Aware of the detriment.
And the major benefit of marriage is that children do better in intact families. We should remember that.
Mm-hmm.
So when you can't stay together, we know the statistics are very concrete about that.
Mm-hmm. They need both their parents.
Right.
Right.
Absolutely. And sometimes I hear kids say, I remember my parents would go up in the room and I didn't know what they were doing, but they came back, you know, out happy.
Big smiles on their faces.
But you just said that they're better, children are better in an intact family, but that doesn't necessarily mean an intact family that has a lot of conflict. You're talking about an intact, you're talking about a low conflict intact family.
The general reality is that they do better even if there is some conflict, because the children,
some conflict is okay,
children
as
learn
long
from
as they're
conflict
resolving it.
Also,
yes.
they learn from the good as well as the bad.
Absolutely.
Fairly.
Depends
but
on the level.
But if the conflict has to do with the sex and one is very angry and feeling that they're being deprived or being used or being held, it's being held over them like a power, then the marriage, again, has to work through those so that, again, you can maintain that intact
family. What happens to families with two kids, for instance, that you see that are totally different, you'll find that one will totally react against the couple that is angered and fighting, and the other kid will just do perfectly well by it.
Right.
We can't account for that psychologically. It's too difficult to measure those numbers.
Uh-huh.
So we just look at the reality of, well, some kids are going to be
resilient.
More affected than others. That's
right.
All.
Some are more resilient than others. Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Right. Now, what about the... I don't know if you're done with monogamy, but did you want to talk about casual sex?
Well, casual sex is
I don't mean done with monogamy. I mean...
I'm over that.
Right, yeah.
All right,
what
a concept.
No more.
Doesn't work for me.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
Casual sex...
Yes.
It would be the, I guess, alternative.
Right.
Casual sex is something that I think can be very dangerous, and it could cause an addiction. And casual sex, you know, because of the serotonin in the brain, you tend to want to keep feeding that, and the excitement of somebody new... And the idea of conquest and fix, you know, just moving from one to the other will really detrimentally affect your sense or your perception of lovemaking.
So is that why role play is good?
Absolutely.
In,
you can put on a wig or change your personality.
The man can put on a wig, I guess, yeah.
I think it wouldn't hurt.
I'm not doing that. A point of the newness factor, which you just started to touch on, is a very, very important issue that... In biologically, there's a newness factor which disrupts a lot of marriages. The need to have to go outside the marriage is unfortunately, and a casual sex you just described, the addictive part of it takes that and just runs with it. There's always a need to find something new. This is men and women, but primarily men.
So now, why is it that you need something new? Is it because, and I've talked to men about this, they like to feel different women's bodies, and they like to see how they
I think
are.
It's a conquest. You mentioned it before.
He's raising his hand.
I completely get what they're talking about. I completely get the feel of the newness of a sexual issue, and newness in the body. And unfortunately, I think that might have to do with, you know, just some biological need that we all have that I can't pass.
So how does a woman
have... You're saying the men have?
Men have that, more than women.
But the women don't have that biological
need.
Because you all
look
the same.
Right.
You're all the same. But the idea that when you're in a marriage and the woman has only one body, what can she do to help the
man? Plastic surgery, I guess? I don't know.
Yes, for one. But there's only so much you can do.
Right.
And then you're talking about having sex several times a week. How is she going to...
Get different outfits.
I don't know. You tell me. I mean, what should a woman do?
A family or a wife that may be feeling this impact that's having sex with her husband often is not going to have that problem.
Okay, so how
frequency
about
makes a big deal of difference in terms of that person leaving the relationship.
Is that right? All right, yeah. So he's just having... All right, so the sex is good, But does man still desire another body, a different type of body?
Not if it's not if the frequency is there, not as much. It brings back.
Well, that goes back to the cycle now.
It brings back that percentage.
Now it goes back to the man's cycle.
So a woman can keep her man as long as she keeps it frequent. She doesn't have to worry about
not as much
desiring.
Right.
You got to know what your man's cycle is. I know we talked about this before. You got to know your man's cycle.
But I'm talking.
Men don't have the same type of cycle. A man's cycle is only a few hours.
Yes.
Well, it depends on how old you. It depends on how old you are.
But I'm trying to ask you. For women today, she says he doesn't look at me the same way.
Right.
What can a woman do?
Have sex more often.
Just give it to him more often?
Yep.
Forget about his need to have
I'm a man. I'm just giving you what I... That's what I would want.
All right. So it's not really about him needing different bodies and greener on the other side.
Oh, yeah. Testosterone grows inside the individual after a certain number of hours. It increases our desire. The visual imagery gets more heightened. It gets more sensitive. We want that sexual activity within that 20-hour
period. So how long does it take to get to that peak level?
How long? It depends. Again, you talked about the age level. Yeah. At 18, it happens literally in the first hour or two.
Yeah, but, which was fun for us.
So you're saying after an hour, they're at their peak?
At 18, but when you're 35 and 40, it goes down to a couple of hours.
Which
and then
is
when
better.
You're over 40,
which
it's a day.
Because then when you're 18, I mean, it was just like, you know, before you even started,
it's about release.
He was done, and you're like, what?
Why do you think after sex very often, especially younger men, will, you know, they're barely done with the orgasm, still breathing heavy, and they're going for the remote.
Yeah.
Because they lose their... Once the orgasm occurs, it's completely vanquishing the testosterone all in one shot.
Mm. And the other thing you want to remember is that a man... Why don't you fall asleep? But a woman is more stimulated.
That doesn't happen to me.
That doesn't happen to me either.
That doesn't happen to me.
You said that.
It goes the reverse. I get my adrenaline rush.
Okay, but then eventually you'll crash... And then,
I guess once the adrenaline.
That's why a lot of women don't want to have sex at night because they want it. They get stimulated.
You heard of the cool down period? There's a cool down period for women. Men need an advancement for men. Mm-hmm. Learn that there's a rise up, a longer mm-hmm. foreplay going up, mm-hmm. and then after the orgasm, there should be a cool down. You still need to be caressing and touching.
Well, that's the pillow talk. That's that whole cuddling thing. Yeah.
Cuddling and holding and rubbing and stuff like that.
Rubbing, okay.
Oh, rubbing. Wow.
All right, we're all going to go rub ourselves, and we're going to have to wrap it up.
Yeah, I think we're done.
I hope everybody got something out of this. And I just want to ask one thing. Is it important for a man to see that his woman stays fit, or does it matter? Women today are worried about putting on weight.
We're still hung up with that hourglass figure. We have it in our minds, and that's
visual.
What we want.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
By the way,
unfortunately, it's still visual.
All right. So, Chris, what is your contact?
My contact is fittv@optonline.net, optonline.net. And you can reach me on YouTube. Search for Families in Transition. You can see all the television programming I've done.
Thank you, Chris. Okay, we'll see you next week.
Take care.
Let's see.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Hi, I'm Dana.
And I'm Don.
We're certified mediators. And I am a family and couples licensed therapist and author of Please Don't Buy Me Ice Cream.
Our show, New Beginnings, is about helping you and your family recover financially and emotionally and start the beginning of your life.
We'll answer your questions on divorce, family court, co-parenting, personal development, new relationships, blending families, and more.
Dana and I will bring you to a place of empowerment and belief that even though marriages may end, families are forever.
Join us every Monday starting September 10th at 10 a.m. on TalkingAlternative.com.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Talking Alternative. This is Tony Martinetti, the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Technology, fundraising, compliance, social media. Small and medium nonprofits have needs in all these areas. My guests are expert in all these areas and more. Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern on Talking Alternative Broadcasting.
Are you fed up with talking points rhetoric? Every way you turn, it's left or right spin, ideology, no reality. In fact, it's ideology over intellect. No more. It's time for the truth. Join me, Larry Sharp, a.k.a. The Neo-Sage, Tuesday nights, 9 to 11 Eastern, for the Ivory Tower radio program. In the Ivory Tower, we'll discuss what's important to you, society, politics, business, and family. It's provocative talk for the realist and the skeptic who want to know what's really going on, what does it mean, and what can be done about it. So gain special access to the Ivory Tower and listen to me, Larry Sharp, your Neo-Sage, Tuesday nights, 9 to 11, New York time. Go to ivorytowerradio.com for details. That's ivorytowerradio.com. The Ivory Tower is a great place to visit for both entertainment and education. Listen in, Tuesday nights, 9 to 11. It will make you smarter.
TalkingAlternative.com.